Let me welcome you to our 26th annual school dedication as we begin a new school year and commit our way unto the Lord. We have many reasons to be thankful. We're going to begin with praise tonight. If you have your program there, please turn to the first hymn, number 53 in the hymn book. Give to our God immortal praise, mercy and truth are all his ways. Number 53, it's in your program. Now let's all stand together and praise the Lord. Thank you. The congregation may be seated. If I could just ask you, if there's room in your row, if you could just slide along. There's still some people trying to make their way in, and we need to make room for them. So if you could slide along, if there's space in your row, and just make provision for those people coming in at this time. We're going to ask Dr. Saunders to give the welcome and open our service tonight in prayer.
I'm feeling well hemmed in here tonight. This is a good thing. I felt very young standing beside some of these young people here, like back in school days. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord tonight. It's a blessing, a privilege, that we have to come to worship the Lord, and most specifically on this dedication time tonight. So we are happy to see you. It's a blessing, an encouragement to our own heart. And we pray that you will also be blessed for the service tonight. So you sit back and relax and be in prayer as you're seated there, that God would bless the ministry and song by our young people to your heart, and he would use these words, fasten them to the hearts of the young people, and then encourage them to go on with God as well. And then as we come a bit later on in our service to the opening of the scripture, that there would be a word in season to your soul. Don't just pray, well, Lord, let that be for somebody else, or let it be for the children. No, pray that God will have a word in season to your own heart. Because if that's the case, we'll go away from this house tonight blessed. It was good for us to have been here, because we have indeed met with the Lord. So good warm word of welcome to you all. I spot ones and twos of our alumni who are here with us tonight in our service, and we give you always a special word of welcome. It's a joy to have you back in Whitfield, and certainly in our dedication service on an occasion like this tonight. So it's special for us. Those folks who are part of our congregation on a regular basis, well, I gave you the announcements this morning, and you still have your bulletin, or if you don't, you can grab one on the way out to just be sure you don't miss out on anything. This past Friday night was certainly a special time for us in our congregation. We marked 20 years of the opening of this building for the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Made up of steel and bricks and mortar, and one day the building will be gone. But for the time it is standing, and for this time that God has given us to use it, our prayer is it will always be open for the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's no other reason for our existence. There's no other purpose that we should be here. And if we try and endeavor by God's grace to fulfill that calling and mission, then we will have done what the Lord called us to do. And so please continue to uphold the church here in your prayers, as it is an integral part in supporting the ministry of Whitfield. And because if it wasn't for the congregation here, there would be no Whitfield School. It is a ministry that flows from the heart and soul of what is here in this place of worship. So we thank you for your ongoing prayers and your support and prayer in practical ways. We need that continually, that we'll go on to be strong for the Lord and in the power of his might. I do want to say a word of introduction to our guest speaker tonight, as he will come a little bit later on. Dr. Alan Cairns has been a long-time friend of our congregation. He goes back many, many years in our denomination, both overseas in Northern Ireland and in the United States, as he was a minister in Greenville, South Carolina, for just about 30 years. He was responsible for the establishment of our theological seminary there, and has written several books, and I believe you'll be encouraged by the Word of God as he shares with you tonight. And so we certainly welcome him and his wife. They've come with us for our special anniversary services on Friday night, marking the 20th anniversary of the building here. And we certainly wanted to be here to be with us for the dedication service. And the word he brings to you tonight, I pray, will be an encouragement to your heart. Please take a moment now and just bow your heads and your hearts as we seek the Lord for our service. Our loving God and Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow in thy presence tonight. We know, Lord, that the very purpose and reason that we are here is all because of thine infinite and sovereign grace. We are thankful, Lord, for the day and the hour when the Spirit of God opened our hearts and our eyes to see that we were sinners, and that Jesus Christ is our only Savior. Dear Father, I pray that as we come to this meeting tonight, we will know the nearness of the Holy Spirit. We will know, O God, the word of the Lord being fastened to our hearts, so that we will be changed by the effect of the word on us. Lord, don't let us go out of this place the same way that we came in. We pray that we might grow in grace. We might know what it is to be sanctified by the word of God in prayer. O God, we ask that every part of our service would be to the honor and the glory of King Jesus. Bless everyone who takes part in the service. We pray for the young people as they have memorized the scripture, as they have been practicing the singing of the songs. Lord, take these words and use them to mold their lives. Let these words be brought back to them with power, that they might say, Lord, what do you want me to do in my life? Lord, glorify your holy and precious name. Hear our prayers. We need help, Lord, in our school. We need daily the power of God to enable us to go on and to do our duty and what we have to do. We need that grace and strength to enable us. And Lord, most certainly we need that help in this congregation. And so, Lord, we pray for a mighty moving of the Spirit of God. We pray, dear Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in revival blessing. For this is what is needed for the Church of Jesus Christ in these latter days. Oh, Lord, equip us, empower us. Let us go forward, not in the weakness of human strength or power, but in the power of Thy might. For it is not by our might nor by our power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh God, give us joy tonight then in this gathering as we dedicate this whole service and our school year unto Thee. We ask all these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
I'd like to thank the boys and girls for singing for us. What a blessing it is to hear these young people singing praise unto Almighty God. And tonight we have come again for our annual dedication service. It is most important that we dedicate our work annually and every day to the Lord for His blessing and for His help in the work that we do. So let's all join together in the dedication prayer. I'd like you all to stand at this time, please, for this prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the very beginning, Lord, we bow to admit Thy greatness. O God, Thou art the eternal and the infinite God. And we thank Thee, our Father, that Thou art the Creator and Sustainer of all things. And so, our Father, at the very beginning, we come to lift our voices in praise and adoration unto Thy great and mighty name. And we thank Thee, our Father, for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we might be made rich unto God. And we thank Thee, our Father, for His death on the cross, His glorious resurrection. And we thank Thee, Father, for the wonderful hope that we have that He's coming back again to this world and back to this earth. And so, our Father, at the very beginning, we would pay our respect and our love and our worship unto Thee, the God of all hope and all help. We ask, O Lord, now that Thou would bless our whole school family. We thank Thee, Lord, for every pupil, every one of them a gift of the grace of God to their home. And we ask Thee, our Father, that Thou would bless them. And as they come to the school and they learn Thy word and the things that they need to know for becoming good citizens, we ask Thee, our Father, that Thou would bless Thy word. May they hide it in their hearts. And Father, we pray that they may not sin against Thee. And Lord, we pray that Thou would, from this student body, call out young men and young women for the service of Jesus Christ the King. Oh God, in this wicked age, how much we need to have young people dedicated to the service of Christ the King. So Father, bless our whole school body, and we pray, oh God, on that great day when we all meet in heaven, that none of these young people will be missing. Oh God, we pray that each one of them will come to know the Lord as their Savior. We ask Thee, our Father, that Thou would bless all the families. We thank Thee, O God, for their dedication to Thee. We thank Thee, our Father, for blessing them with these children. And Lord, we know what Thou hast told us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so, Father, we pray that Thou would help us all so to order our homes, that our young people may come to know Thee. Our Father, we pray that we may not be one thing in church and something else at home, but Lord, we pray that we may have a consistent walk, that they may see daily that their parents are walking with the Lord. And so, our Father, we pray that Thou would bless the homes, and where there are those who are still not saved, we pray, O God, that Thou would draw them inexorably by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, O God, that they would come to know the Lord, whom to know is life everlasting. We ask Thee, our Father, that Thou would remember our faculty and our staff and our workers. We thank Thee for the dedication of each one of them. We thank Thee, Lord, for the fact that they have taken time and do take time to train the children in the way that they should go. And so we pray that Thou would bless them, encourage them by the way. And Father, we ask of Thee that Thy hand will be upon both student and family and faculty. And Lord, as we have prayed so many times, we pray that Thou would make this school of ours to be a school of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Lord, everyone, they may meet the Lord Jesus in the Word of God, meet Him in the lives of our teaching staff. And Father, we pray that this will be known as a place wherein dwells the honor of the Lord our God. So, our Father, we come at the commencement of another year, and we would dedicate ourselves to the service of Christ the King. And, Lord, we pray that Thou would give us cause in days to come to greatly rejoice because of the work that Thou art going to do in the lives of each of these young people. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us as we continue in the service. Bless the preaching of Thy word. And Lord, may we go home tonight rejoicing that it was good to be here, because here we met with the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank the boys and girls for those messages in song today and for the young people singing as we think of the way forward and how we need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. We are gathered here together to commit our way unto the Lord. In the book of Proverbs we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, or not to lean on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." And so this is a special night for us as we commit our life into the hand of God again, seek his guidance, seek his grace, his help. Without him, we can do nothing. And I trust that presentation tonight put a smile upon your face from the little ones singing about the joy of the Lord. It makes you smile. And the boys and girls, you see the progression here, how well the boys and girls are doing. And then our high school, so good to hear from our high school students. We welcome you tonight. And I want to say a special word of thanks to all our teachers for preparing the young people. We've had a shorter time to prepare. Usually we have a few extra weeks into October, but we wanted to coordinate this with our special anniversary services this weekend. And we're glad we could do that and glad you could be here. But it meant extra work for the teachers, and we're thankful for Mrs. Espute and Mrs. Johnson and all the other teachers and musicians and preparing the young people for this special occasion. We're going to sing a hymn. It's an offering hymn. We're going to take up a special offering for our school tonight. We're thankful for your prayers, for your practical support through the years, and all the things that we've been able to do because of that. This year, we were able to install 25 new Dell computers in our computer lab. It's up and running now, and that's due mostly to the gifts of parents and helping that need. And so we have many needs in the school. There are many opportunities for us to do new things and develop the work in the ministry, and we need your help. So hope you'll reach into your pocket tonight and give to the work of the Lord. We're going to sing that hymn on your program, hymn 476, "May the Mind of Christ My Savior Live in Me From Day to Day." And just remain seated while this offering is received. First two verses again. Give the young people time to have their seats. There's seats in the middle there, young people. And maybe we could stand and sing, the offering being received. Let's all stand for a change of position and lift it up on these two verses, verse 1 and 2 again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated, students and congregation. Very glad to welcome Dr. Cairns tonight, Pastor Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Saunders mentioned, he's been a close friend of this congregation for many years, and we're glad he could be here for the anniversary and for this special service of dedication. He's going to come now and bring God's word.
Just last Saturday, I had to speak at a men's conference. Without going into the details, the subject I was given was one thing. The subject that had been publicly announced was quite another thing. And had I known what it was, I probably would have declined to go. It was much more difficult. And so I told them, I'm almost tempted to tell a lie and say I'm glad to be here, because I'm really not too glad to be here because I had to speak on this difficult subject. When I heard of speaking here at the school dedication, I felt much the same way. You see, though I'm half-brother to Methuselah, and that means a little bit older than most, I have a good memory, at least for some things. You know, when you get old, you always remember the things that happened long ago. You may not remember what you had for your supper, but you remember things long ago. And I well remember being in school gatherings, usually a prize-giving day, and we went to a very large boys' school with about 1,100 students at it, and that was an interminable day. And somebody always got up at the end of it and took too long to say nothing worth listening to anyway. And it was difficult. And I'm absolutely certain that many students here will be thinking the same thing. Now we've got through our part, and these preachers go on and on and on and on. But not to worry, because this is going to be pretty brief. But I trust it will be very pointed and will be a message from the Lord. I'm not going to read a long Bible reading tonight. I'm going to read just one simple, at least it sounds simple, verse of Scripture. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For the sake of brevity, I'm going to deal only with the first part of that verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Many Bible scholars believe that this is the greatest sermon in all the Bible. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. On another occasion, the Lord Jesus preached almost the same sermon, only it was on a plain. So whether on the mountain or on the plain, this was very evidently a message that the Son of God knew was vitally important for people to hear. So he preached this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It is undoubtedly a sermon preached by the greatest preacher the world has ever known. People said, never man spake like this man. And so powerful was the speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ that when the Jewish leaders sent some of their men to apprehend him, by force if necessary, they were so overwhelmed by his speaking that they were paralyzed and they could not proceed against him. And it was they who said, never man spake like this man. So here is probably the greatest sermon ever preached, preached by the one who was undoubtedly the greatest preacher who ever preached. And in the midst of this sermon, he utters these words. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here he is dealing with something that's very crucial to young people, to their parents and to their grandparents, to every man and woman amongst us. That is, he's dealing with the right state of our heart toward the things of earth and the things of heaven. And he's particularly emphasizing the priority that the things of heaven must take over the things of earth. They must come first. Now, the things of earth are very essential. I remember a friend of mine who was a bit of a wit. Of course, that may mean he was a half-wit, but I don't really intend that. But he was always full of witticisms. I remember once Jackie was talking about people who said, oh, money, you don't need money, and money's this and money's the other thing. He said, no, money's not any use, except when you're going to the shop to buy something that's very handy to have with you. Of course, nowadays, you'll have a card. They hadn't been invented in those days. The things of earth are important. Coming to school and being educated, and I know some of you won't like to hear this, but learning about English and English literature, and I'm delighted that Mrs. Saunders is teaching Latin. I think everybody should have to learn Latin. And I see some people putting their head down already. My pet peeve, my pet hatred, especially in senior high school, was math. Why on earth are they making me study that stuff? I really didn't like it at all. If I hadn't had a great math teacher, I would have failed, because he was brilliant and I was equally stupid. But he managed to get us through. Now, those are important things. They are important. What job you're going to have. Who you're going to marry. That may seem a long way away for some of you. But believe me, you young fellas, believe me, the girls are already praying about it. You've got a big target in your back. I always say that a girl runs away from a fella until she catches him. And that, Frank McClellan found that. Larry Saunders found that. Lee Sterrett found that. Of course, I didn't. I daren't say a word about my wife, otherwise she wouldn't cook for me anymore. Important things. But there are certain things that are far more important, and they are the things that deal with heaven. You see, the things of earth are vital for life on earth. But the things of heaven are essential for life eternal. And so tonight I want us to think upon this very simple but profound theme. The Lord Jesus is teaching it. First things first. First things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now you'll notice that I started the message by announcing a text. Every good sermon has to have a text for a very simple reason. When a preacher gets up to preach, he should actually be preaching about something specific. And the text provides that. The Lord Jesus, in preaching the Sermon on the Mount, selected two words as his text. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he is expounding, explaining, and applying these two words. The first is the word kingdom. When you read especially in Matthew's Gospel, but particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see this word comes up again and again, the word kingdom. And the other word is the word righteousness. Now, many, many volumes have been written about the kingdom. What does it mean? I was reading one Scottish theologian recently. I'm not mentioning his name because I don't really recommend him for a lot of the things that he says. But he explained the kingdom like this. He said, if you take the words of the Lord's Prayer, we are told to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And speaking of and I'm not going into the details here, of one of the great features of Hebrew literature, it's called parallelism, where you've got two things, and they're brought closely together, and the second one explains the first. It's a parallel way of saying the same thing. And his contention was this: if you want to understand what the kingdom is, what is the kingdom of God? It is where the will of God is done. Now, I think that there's some truth in that, but it is much larger than that. The kingdom of God is the reign of grace now in the soul of a man or of a woman, a boy or a girl, that leads to the reign of that soul in glory with Christ. It is Christ reigning in hearts and lives with a view to bringing them to reign with him in glory. Now, the word righteousness, that's a very interesting word. And this part of the text of the Lord Jesus, righteousness. For us, we tend to think it means simply uprightness. It means, as many translated, simply rightness. But it means so much more. The great German reformer Martin Luther, when he was an Augustinian monk and his conscience was deeply troubled, you see, Luther was a brilliant young lawyer. His father had sent him to school to make a fortune so that he could look after his parents in their old age. And he was mightily angry when the young man came under deep conviction of his sin. And he gave up the law and he went in to be a monk in the monastery. Luther thought, if I go in there, I'll become holy. He found he was still the same sinner inside as he was outside. He thought, well, if I starve myself, if I beat myself, if I whip the flesh, if I do everything to change myself, I'll become holy. I'll become righteous. But he found it didn't work. And so when he read in the Bible and he came to this word righteousness, he confessed he came to hate it. Because you see, he was reading in the Latin Bible. And those of you who are taking Latin, you'll discover that the Latin word that we translate righteousness, we recognize in English as the word justice. Justice. And so Martin Luther said, how can I be happy about the thought of the justice of God? Because I'm a sinner. God is holy. And if God deals with me in justice, I will be cast out into outer darkness. I will perish in the darkness of a never-ending and tormenting hell. How can I possibly rejoice in the justice of God? That's not good news for me. So he was in a turmoil of mind until, reading in the book of Romans, the light of the gospel dawned on that poor monk's soul. And this is what he discovered. When the Bible in the gospel speaks of righteousness, its primary meaning is that it is a gift of God. If I could put it very simply, God sent his Son into the world not only to die, but to live. And in living, he kept the law of God in its precept. In dying, he paid the penalty of the broken law, thereby meeting the two great needs of the souls of men. We need forgiveness for our sins, yes. But we need something more. We need a righteousness that will stand the test of the judgment day of God. And as Paul expounds it in the book of Romans, God takes the righteousness of Christ and he gives it to us as he would a garment to clothe our souls. He says, that's my free gift to you. You don't work for it. You don't pay for it. You don't get it because of how well you've prayed, how what church you belong to, if you've been baptized. No, no. It is a free gift of God. And when Luther came to understand that, it has changed literally the history of the world, because now, for the last almost 500 years, the world has been flooded with the message of a free salvation and a full salvation, not only the pardon of our sins, but the clothing of our souls with the righteousness of Christ, the justice, so that God is just and the justifier of all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are the two great terms, the kingdom and righteousness. Now, says the Lord Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Can I say this? He's saying, first and foremost, seek to enter the kingdom of God and seek to enter into the experience of having Christ's righteousness. Seek to enter the kingdom of God. You see, I would probably suppose that everybody here has learned something of the Bible. You learn something of the truths of the gospel. You know the words of certain texts of Scripture, and you may even nod your head in agreement when it comes to the statement of certain great doctrines of the faith of the gospel. But it's not enough to learn these things by rote. I was delighted to hear the children reciting Scripture. Let me challenge all you young people, especially the teenagers, let me challenge you to set yourselves, when you are young, a constant course of Bible memorization. It will fix your mind. It will clarify your thinking. It will help you academically. That may come as a surprise, but that's not the reason. It'll hide God's word in your heart, and it will be a shield to you and a guide to you and a blessing more than anything else you learn in school or anywhere else. So I would certainly not despise memorizing the Scriptures. But that's not enough to save you. I knew a man who could quote you reams of Scripture. He could not only quote you Scripture, he could tell you what all the great theologians said upon that Scripture. He had such a memory, he could tell you book, chapter, and verse, and he'd name the great theologians and what they had to say. But he was as ungodly and unclean and unsaved as a man could be. You see, it's not enough just to learn the words. You must enter by faith into the kingdom, into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight or the narrow gate. Strive. Now, what does that word tell you? It tells you it's difficult. Some people will want you to believe it's the easiest thing in the world to become a Christian. Don't you believe it? There's a price to be paid, for the world will become your enemy. You see, the world and the flesh and the devil are against you ever being a genuine born-again, Bible-believing, Christ-exalting Christian. So Jesus says, strive to enter in. By nature, you're a rebel. So he says, lay down your arms and surrender to Jesus Christ. Become subject to him as your king. By nature, you're a sinner. So bring your sin to him to be cleansed away. And in its place for you to be robed in the righteousness of Christ. Seek to enter in. Strive. First and foremost, make sure you've entered. Now let me ask you, and I'll start with the parents. Have you ever entered into God's kingdom? Have you ever entered in? You get some strange answers when you ask people, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you in Christ? I remember visiting in a hospital with an old veteran of the U.S. Army who had served in foreign wars. He was dying, and I'd gone up to see him in a veteran's hospital. And when I'd finished with him, I saw an old man just two beds away, and he didn't seem to have anybody. So I thought, I'll go over to talk to him. As I did so, I asked him, are you saved? He said, oh, I joined the Baptist church just 6 months ago. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. But that's not what I asked you. Oh, but I got baptized. I said, that's maybe good news too, but it's not what I asked you. Are you saved? And he couldn't get beyond the fact that he joined a church. And my dad was on what was really his deathbed. I went home to visit him. Right across the room from him was an old, old man. And he was near to eternity. Day by day, I'd be there to visit with my dad, and I tried to cultivate some contact with this man. He was very difficult to speak to, for he didn't want to be spoken to. He was foul-mouthed, wicked, evil, loved sin, a drunken, worldly sinner. I went up one day and I realized this is my last day here. And short of a miracle, the next time I come back, that man will be in eternity. And I determined whether he liked it or not, whether he wanted to try to skip the issue or not, I was going to face him. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet your God? So I did speak to him, and he just brushed me off. He said, I'm okay. I've just had my minister come. He was a member of the Episcopal Church, the Church of Ireland, as we call it, over there. He said, I've just had my minister come, and he told me, you're all right. Do you know why he was all right? Because every week his wife sent the money for the church and the church envelope. Of course, they never went themselves. They simply sent their money. He told me, I'm all right. Let me ask you tonight, have you entered the kingdom of God? What is the will of God? Kingdom of God is where God's will is done. What is the will of God? Jesus said, this is the will of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's how you enter the kingdom, by faith in Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. I would then put that question not only to the parents. I start there, by the way, because there's an awful lot of parents want their children to go the right way while they themselves are content to go the wrong way. And you trust the school and the teachers to do so much that you then undo by your own ungodliness. That's a tragedy. So I start with the parents. Have you entered in? I see these teenagers. You're soon going to be launched out into a world that has one aim for you, and that's to lead you astray and to damn your soul. It may give you money. It may give you entertainment. But behind it all, there is the implacable hatred of your soul. I want to ask you, you've come to school here. You had the privilege of the best education with the best of teachers and the best of influence. But I'm asking you, have you ever entered into Christ? What a tragedy to leave this place unsaved, a rebel against God. To all these children, seek first to enter into this kingdom. And then seek to enjoy being in the kingdom. Now, this is a huge thing that I don't have time to go into. The devil wants you to believe, you know, if you're a Christian, you lose all the joy of life. Now, let me put a very simple proposition to you. Have you ever met a drug addict who's sorry he started taking drugs? Have you ever met a drunkard who's sorry that he ever took his first drink? Have you ever met a criminal with a broken life, broken home, who's sorry he ever started out in the way that has taken him further than he ever intended to go? Sure you have. If you haven't, you'd certainly find them easily enough. But let me ask you, have you ever met a person who was washed in the blood of Christ and saved by the grace of God, who say, I'm sorry I ever met with Jesus. I'm sorry I was ever converted. It's impossible. You see, there is a peace, there is a joy, there's a satisfaction in being in Christ and being in the kingdom and serving the King of glory. So let's seek to enjoy the grace of God reigning in the soul, giving you victory over sin. You young people are going out into a world where it seems to be more than ever, everybody wants to swim with the tide and run with the crowd. We call it now peer pressure. Always got a new name for the same old. But it's always been the same. The desire to go with the crowd. Just be swept along so that you'll not incur the wrath or the mockery of the crowd. But let me tell you something. When you're really enjoying Jesus Christ and you're enjoying the grace of God in your soul and you know what it is to meet with him day by day in prayer, his word is a living word. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The Holy Spirit is day and daily opening up the word to you and leading you on with God. I want to tell you, that gives you a courage that you don't really care what the world has to say. You're not really worried what the ungodly may think about you. They'll be watching you. And when they see that peace of God in your soul, I want to tell you something. It'll be a testimony that very often God will use to make them want it too. Quite a few years ago now, my youngest brother died very suddenly, still a young man. Some of his friends who were at that funeral were very, very ungodly people. My brother was a prison officer. And one of these guys he had met when he was in prison. And he was there because of the influence for good to change the direction of his life. Not to see him saved, but to change the direction of his life that my brother had on him. Two of these very ungodly men came to our home that night of my brother's funeral. And they went outside, and this is what they said. They said, I don't know what it is that they have, but whatever they have, I want it. And I'm glad to say that both of those men today are saved and in Christ. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy what it is to be saved. Enjoy the peace of God, the presence of God, the power of God in your life. Enter in and then enjoy. And the challenge that I finish with, especially to the young people and most especially to the teenagers among you, seek to extend the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, it's good to be saved, but there's no joy as a Christian like the joy of winning others for Christ. Paul received from God, he says in Acts 24, a ministry to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. When you're a Christian, the Lord says, whatever your job in life, that's just your job. Now, I don't know what it'll be. He may make you a bus driver. He may make you a nuclear physicist. He may make you a doctor. He may make you a lawyer. Well, I'm not quite sure we need too many more. We'll not go into that. But whatever the Lord makes you, that's just your job. But if you're a Christian, your calling, there's a world of difference. Your calling is to extend the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To extend the gospel. And to reach others for Jesus Christ. A few years ago, when Joan and I lived in South Carolina, we had the privilege of having in our home, just for a few days, two veteran missionaries. They were from Northern Ireland, but they were living at that time in the United States with family. They had served the Lord through the Congo uprising of the 1960s. They had been lined up to be shot. The rebels came. They separated the women from the men. And they were going to shoot both. The women stood there holding their hands together and their eyes closed. And remember what Mrs. McAllister, Alma McAllister, said. She said, just think, in 30 seconds I'm going to see the Lord. I wonder if you knew you were going to die tonight, would that be your expectation? They didn't shoot the women. But they did shoot the men. The women heard the rattle of machine gun fire and they just raked along the line of men. And they fell to the ground in their own blood. Her husband, Bob McAllister, fell with the rest, but by a miracle he hadn't been touched. Now normally, the rebels came to finish the job off and they put a single bullet through every brain just to make sure they had done the job. But on that day, the young man who was leading them was in a tremendous hurry to get on to something else. He said, no, they're dead. Come ahead. Bob's best friend, an American missionary, lay dead beside him. And Bob rose to go on to serve the Lord. These are the people we had staying in our homes, in our home. I'll never forget the experience. We went out for dinner one night. And sitting across from us, we saw a long, long table with 17 young people sitting at it. And Alma McAllister, by this time an old woman, she said, how I covet those young people for Christ. And so she made an excuse she needed to get to the bathroom. She went past them, went out to the washroom, and she came back. We saw her stop at this table of young people. with the most winning way, with a smile that would melt an iceberg, Alma said, "You know, I am so thrilled to see you young people. But I just covet you for the Lord Jesus Christ." As it turned out, they told her they were all Christians. So what was her message? "I covet you for Christ." What did she mean? She meant, it's great to be saved, but there's a great work to be done. This is the point of a Christian education. It's a work to extend the kingdom of God, to serve Christ. And I would say to all these students tonight, and especially to those of you who are near to graduation, I covet you for Christ. Will you learn this text not only in your head, but get it in your heart? Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to enter. Seek to enjoy. I believe in living life to the full. Not F-O-O-L. That's how the ungodly live their lives. But living it to the full in the enjoyment of the grace and power of God. And seek to extend his kingdom. I was just a teenager when God called me to the ministry of the gospel. And I'll never forget that night. I wonder, has the Lord spoken to you? Are you willing to say, "Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. Take my moments, take my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. I belong to Christ. All I am, all I have, I give to him." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. May the Lord grant you to hear, to the saving of your soul if you've come here without Christ. May he grant you to hear with the hearing of consecration if you are a Christian, as you give yourself away wholeheartedly to love and serve him who gave himself for you. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's all pray.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for your goodness to us this night, for this fitting text that has been set before us as we think of our school and our students and their future. We pray, Lord, that they would indeed seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and they would know God's blessing in the days to come upon their life. Lord, we give thanks for these 25 years of Whitfield. As we think of this new school year, the months before us, the work to be done, we pray, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit, that we would indeed set Christ first, that he would have all the preeminence, that whatever we do in math, in science, in English, any other class, that we would do for the glory of God. We pray, Lord, you bless our teachers, be with them in their needs. They need your grace. They need your help. Bless our families. We've been praying for them tonight. Bless our students, Lord. Bind us together in the gospel We would all enter into the kingdom with joy. We would serve the Lord with the whole heart. And we would seek in our service to extend the kingdom of Christ. Lord, it's what we're all about here. We acknowledge your good hand upon us. We acknowledge your faithfulness. We acknowledge your power and your grace. And we pray, Lord, show us again mighty tokens for good in this year ahead, that you would indeed exhibit your power and your glory. Show yourself strong on behalf of your people. We give thanks for the young people taking part tonight, for the preparation and the presentation. And we pray now, Lord, that you would lead us on with yourself. We would recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above as a gift from our Father in heaven, providing for all our needs in Christ Jesus, that we would acknowledge that and give praise to your great and holy name. Help us now as we part. May we part in the fear of the Lord, knowing your blessing in our going out and our coming in. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over us and be with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe ask the musicians to come just as we close tonight. Let's stand together. We'll sing the doxology if you have your hymn book there. It's a front cover. The very front cover. I think you know the words well. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above. Ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you. If you could pick up the children after the service immediately, the kindergartens and grade ones are downstairs. The other students just wait for your parents to collect you here at the front. Thank you for coming tonight, and the Lord bless you.